Hear now our scripture for today from Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her who has said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As you worship online this day, I share with you that at our in-person service on December 17th, our children are going to be sharing with us their annual children's pageant. It's always great fun. And I share that with you because I want to remind you that our in-person sanctuary service is recorded each Sunday, and it drops on our YouTube channel usually by Tuesday of that same week, and so you'll be able to find it there. I wonder how many of you grew up in churches where there was a children's pageant, and perhaps you even participated in it. Well, the church that I grew up in near Corpus Christi in Ingleside, Texas, we always had a children's pageant around this time of the year. And I was often asked to play Mary. And here's my secret. I didn't like it, and I always wanted to be instead one of the wise men. I always thought that they had better costumes with the sparkly crowns. Usually it was aluminum foil wrapped around a cardboard cutout, sometimes even with glitter glued on top of it. But then as a teenager, my fascination with Mary began to grow. You see, growing up in South Texas, it was the Virgin of Guadalupe in particular that piqued my curiosity. I saw her everywhere. Now I no longer am envious of the wise men. I was, as a teenager, more jealous of the Catholics in my small town who seemed to have more space and more room in their spiritual practices for feminine representations of the divine. I'd go on to learn that one of the names ascribed to Mary is Theotokos, which in Greek means God bearer, one who carries, one who bears God to others, which is to say, one who embodies and offers to others the very things of God, hope and peace, joy and love, words deceptively simple yet so powerful that we light candles in their honor on our Advent wreath year after year. Well, in today's scripture lesson, Mary visits with Elizabeth, And she visits Elizabeth with this overwhelming news that not only is she bearing God, she is also carrying within her God's dream for the world, the dream articulated in what we know as the Magnificat. The Magnificat comes, that word comes from the Latin word meaning rejoicing. Now, in this encounter that we hear about today, Mary and Elizabeth teach us a lot about the role of the church in dreaming. We've been talking a lot about dreams over the Advent season. Well, for starters, dreams are to be shared. And in the best of circumstances, powerful faith communities like the church are a place where dreams can be birthed and shared. Mary receives the message from the angel that she will give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And this child will embody God's dream for a world, a dream filled with what? A dream filled with hope and peace, love and joy, just like our Advent wreath. If you read in Luke's gospel, at first Mary seems resolved to God's plan. She is no doubt obedient and submits to the idea. But it feels like it's in sort of a, okay, this is how it's going to be sort of way. And then she seeks out connection and community in her wise older cousin Elizabeth. And it's only when Mary shares her story with Elizabeth that her yes is transformed into a rejoicing kind of yes. There in the safe presence of one who loved her and saw her, Mary's yes was transformed. Transformed as she was caught up in a dream that filled her heart and even her vocal cords to overflowing with joy. Dreams are meant for sharing, and the church is not only a place for dreams to be shared, but it is a place for us to do so across the generational lines. Mary, the younger, and Elizabeth, the older. I wonder if you know, you probably do, that in our society today, the faith community is considered one of the last places where the generations actually interact. Here, children have an extended family of additional cousins and grandparents in the faith. And we older members, we have the opportunity not only to mentor and share, but to learn from those younger disciples as well. Mary reminds us that dreams are to be shared. And she also reminds us that dreams point beyond ourselves. I think of it this way. I may wish to run a fast half marathon, but I'm not quite sure this is in keeping with God-sized typed dreams. It's kind of like this, my Apple Watch that buzzes at 10 o'clock at night telling me, you can still do it. You still have time to get all 10,000 steps in. And I'm looking at my watch, it's 10 p.m. and I'm thinking, no, that's not going to happen. That might be wishful thinking. You get the point. Wishes and goal setting for ourselves is all well and good. But God-given dreams point away from our own self-interest and are oriented towards the common good, the flourishing of all God's people. The spirit of this message was captured beautifully by one of our youth in the devotional booklet contributions. If you have not already seen our devotional book, I encourage you to find one. You can pick one up at the church office or we'll even mail one to you. But you can also find a link on a podcast that has all of these daily devotionals read. Well, I want to conclude today with the words from one of our youth writers talking about this concept that God-sized dreams point beyond ourselves to the common good. It's Eliza, and she shares these words. I still go to bed on Christmas Eve with leaping joy and endless curiosity for the coming day. But as I get older, I find my subconscious expanding my thoughts beyond possible gifts and actually analyzing the true meaning of Christmas, love, and forgiveness. My ideas shift from the gifts I might receive to the gifts that I can give others. May it be so. Amen.